don't, I believe it for you. And I believe that there are more of us that believe it for you than there are that don't believe it. Say amen if you believe that.
Amen.
You know, 2012 is in the books. And with it goes a lot of misery, a lot of pain, and a lot of tragedy. But I want you to know that this is not you. Because you are not finished yet. This will never be you. Until you arrive in glory, this is not you. You are not done yet. This is done. Did you see the clay? Did you notice that the clay was soft in the hand of the potter? Did you notice that the clay was able to be molded and fashioned by the one who was putting its hands on it? So I just want to make a declaration today. I want to do something today that will remind you the next time you become conscious of your humanity and your failure. The next time the enemy tries to tell you, it's a done deal, it's a wrap, you're finished. God don't love you, you're done. The next time the lies of the enemy come to you, I just want you to draw this imagery in your mind with me. I want you to realize that this is not you, because Jeremiah 18 verses 1 to 6 says that you've got to go down to the potter's house. And you've got to look at something that the potter is fashioning. And as long as the potter is fashioning something, it is not finished. You're still on the wheel. Everybody say that. I'm still on the wheel. So if this is 2012, I just want to do something with 2012, because it was nasty for some of us. It was ugly for some of us. There were tragedies that happened in 2012, and I want to end it, and I want you to see it. It's over. That's over. 2012 is, that is not who we are. That is not who this nation is. That is not who you are. I don't care how much the enemy has attacked your life. That is not you. You are not dead. You are alive. And as for me and my house, and I believe this is my house, and so I'm not going to allow any of that to stay here. I'm not going to allow death to stay here. I'm not going to allow poverty to stay here. I'm not going to allow destruction to stay here. I'm not going to allow a poverty mentality. Not going to allow it. So I'll throw it away. And I just let you know, Satan, you deceiver, you lying accuser of the brethren, that is not who I am. I am not that. You are a liar.
Hallelujah.
And that's how we're going to roll in 2013. The Bible says, this is what Jesus said over you and me. That my stuff has got to act right. John 14, 12. They don't have this, so if you can keep up, keep up. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. Greater works. I am believing. I close out 2012. By the grace of God, on the sandy shores of Florida, somebody really blessed me good. And I declared right there on that beach that night that 2012 will not define me. All of the hell that was experienced in 2012, I will not allow to define me or this house. And I said it. I said, God, I'm looking for John 14:12, greater faith in my life. I'm looking for greater faith in my children, in my wife, looking for greater faith in your life, looking for greater faith in this city. Greater faith. Because I realize that it is faith that pleases God. Faith, please. How many want to please God? Well, look, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, you can't please Him. How many want to win in life? Raise your hand. Put them down. How many want to lose in life? Raise your hand. All the losers, take the exit. I don't want any losers around me. I don't want you to think like a loser. I don't want you to behave like a loser. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. And you know what gives us the victory? Faith gives us victory, church. Faith gives us victory, and faith pleases God. Why on earth are we trying to attain a life in God outside of pure faith? That means let us give in faith. Let us serve in faith. Let us serve humanity by faith. Let us attain righteousness by faith. Let us look to who we truly are by faith. Let's operate in greater faith. Think of something. Think of something right now together. Stand to your feet with me, church. Let's do this. Now I want you to behold in your mind something that you're expecting and believing in faith for God to do. Come on, grab it in your mind. You grabbing it? You grabbing it? Come on, if you don't got nothing to believe for, talk to your neighbor. Maybe they'll believe for something. Say, believe for me for $1,000,000. I don't know. Believe something. If you ain't got nothing, believe it for me. You got it in your mind? Now I want to tell you something. God never restores to what was. He always takes you beyond. He always be more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. More than your heart could desire, God wants to give you. Now let's pray together, church. Father, we thank you for more, greater faith in our lives. We believe for the impossible to take place. God, we believe and know that signs and wonders follow one thing, and that is the faith in Christ Jesus to perform the miraculous among us. We believe that cancer will be healed in 2013. We believe that marriage will be restored in 2013. We believe that all of the schools in this region will experience revival in 2013. We believe for our home to experience the glory of God in 2013. If you believe it, put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him a hallelujah. 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 Say something to your neighbors. Welcome. If you're looking online, welcome. If you're watching, welcome. You can be seated. Here we go. You got your Bible. Open it to Jeremiah 18. Now, this is one of my life scriptures. I was raised on this, fed this as a youngster over in Potter's Wheel. How many remember Potter's Wheel? All you fresh fires. Over in Potter's Wheel, we would get down and we took this scripture. And it says this, it says, the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah, said, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. Somebody say, make it again. Into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Then the word of the Lord came to me. Saying this, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. I need a tissue, because the last thing I want to do. Sorry about that, but you can't. I don't want to be on YouTube. I am web aware, just so you know. I know you guys got phones. And there's a fellow over there that would take a picture of me just because. Listen to this. He came to my desk with a quivering lip. The lesson was done. Have you a new sheet for me, dear teacher? I've spoiled this one. I took his sheet all soiled and blotted and gave him a new one, all unspotted. And into his tired heart I cried, do better now, my child. I went to the throne with a trembling heart. The day was done. Have you a new day, dear master? I've spoiled this one. He took my day all spoiled and blotted and gave me a new one, all unspotted. And into my tired heart he cried, do better now, my child. We spoil days, and God says, I'll give you a new one. I'll give you a new one. Do better now, my child. So 2012 is gone. And it's interesting, you know, we look into the new year with hope, don't we? We make resolutions. And we begin to have hope, and we look with longing eyes of faith into the new year. We look with eyes of great expectation to what God will do in this thing that is new. We pray for a transformation, a transitioning in forming. We look for God to form something new because we realize that what we came out of wasn't so desirable. So we look with great expectation, and here God in the scriptures says, let's take a trip to the potter's house, prophet. He said, let's go down. Here's what I want you to do. You're the prophet, Jeremiah. You're the herald of the Lord. You're the one who heralds the word of the Lord for Israel, for your family, for your city. I want you to get up. Get up off the ground. I realized that last year was a mess and it was hard. I realized there was tragedy there. So, prophet, I need you to get up and stop crying. I need you to stop weeping, Jeremiah. I need you to get up now. I need you to arise and go down to the potter's house. He's talking to his prophet, the one who declares the word of the Lord. And he said, get up and go down to the potter's house. Now, the potter's house is interesting. Can you give me my table? The potter's house is interesting because there at the potter's house is where the potter takes his hands and he puts it on the clay and he forms something of the clay. And the clay is soft and pliable in the potter's hand. The clay is malleable. The clay is formable to whatever the desire of the potter has in mind. And he says, arise and go down to the potter's house, to the house of forming. I need you to get to the house where you are formed. Because at the house of forming, I'm going to fashion something there. Now he's talking to the prophet. He says, before you release the word of the Lord, I need you to see something. Because not until you see what I'm about to show you are you permitted to speak what I've given you. We talk too much. We talk too much, prophets. You herald of the truth, you one who proclaims the truth, we talk too much. We talk prematurely. We get on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, and we get on our social networks, and we talk, talk, talk. Poor little talkative Christians. We just talk, talk, talk. And he says, look, prophet, you before you say another word, don't you dare take my word in your mouth until you get down to the potter's house. Stop your crying, get down to the potter's house, and look at what I'm showing you. I got something I need you to see before you open your mouth and declare stuff on behalf of me. Because you think you know, but you don't know yet. Because I haven't revealed it to you yet. So get up, go down, and look at what I'm telling you. And there I will cause you, what's it say? To hear my word. You will hear the word of the Lord when you see what God is showing you. But don't proclaim the word as of the Lord until you're done finished seeing what God has said to you. Don't take a partial vision and then run with it and declare something over it. Don't take a partial truth and arrest it as your own and then run with it and declare that this is what God has spoken. Because he's fashioning something at the potter's house. At the place of forming, he is creating something. The potter's house is where God puts his hand on you and me. It is none other than the church of the living God. And it is a place of transforming, not performing. This ain't no circus show. And for those of you who think that this is supposed to be a circus show, let me tell you something. 95% of Jesus' miracles in the New Testament were not performed in the circus tent. Oh, no, 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 they weren't. No, they were not performed up in this house. They weren't. They were performed out there where you live, eat, and breathe. They weren't performed up here on the altar. So if you're looking for the signs and wonders of this generation, I would suggest you take them outside of this place and begin to lay your hand. Whoa! But what you're looking for is a show. And God said, I'm not putting on no show. The only show you're going to get is the show of Jonah. I'm going to rest in the grave. And then 3 days later, I'm going to come back up. That's enough show for you. That's all I got for you. Say, reform me again. Prophet, speak the word of the Lord. How's your prophetic sight? Based upon what you're seeing, how's your prophetic sight? Because your sight declares what you say. Out of the abundance of your heart, you do speak. Based upon what you've taken in and how you've taken it in, you speak on behalf of God. Let's look and see what Jesus says about that. Jesus says in Luke 33 to 36, go with me there. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket or in a building called a church. But he puts it on a lampstand that those who come in to that place may see the light. Next verse. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body is full of darkness. Now, Therefore, take heed. No, go to the next one. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Stop. How in the world, Jesus, are you confused? Because you just confused me. How is the light that's in me somehow dark? This is a Jewish expression. It's a Jewish idiom. When Jesus said these words, he was saying things like, you know, give me an American, you know, idiom. Something we say like, huh? Bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. Now there, and that's true. You can't beat that. That's some American truth right there. But that's an American idiom. That's something we say. Culturally, when we express that, we're saying, look, you better take what you got and stop hoping for something over there that might not be there, right? Instead of saying that, we said, bird in hand's worth two in bush. Mm-hmm. So when Jesus says, make sure that the light which is in you is not darkness, he's talking to his Jewish audience and he's trying to get their attention. The expression here means, make sure that your perception is full of light. He's saying, make sure you look at everything you see in the light. Don't look through your eyes with darkness on. Don't wear your shades anywhere. Don't wear your shades of judgment anywhere. Make sure that your eye is good. See with light and you will say what's right. Now listen to this Jewish story. It's a bad eye story. A man worked on a farm for 3 years, and on the eve of the Day of Atonement, he went to his employer and he asked for his wages to take home to his wife and his children. And the farm owner said to him, I have no money to give you. The farm hand protested, well, give me some of the crops I've helped grow. And the farmer replied, I've got none. The worker cried, well, then give me some of the sheep that I helped to raise. And the farmer shrugged and said that he had nothing he could give him. So the farm hand gathered up his belongings and went home with a sorrowful heart. Stop. Now, from where you sit, hearing what you heard, how's your eye seeing this story? Not so good, huh? You're looking at that dude and you're like, this guy's a crook. He just robbed his farmhand. He is a no good scoundrel. He's a dirty dog. Let's go on. After the holidays, the employer came to the farmhand's house with all of his wages along with three carts full of extra gifts. They had dinner together, and as they ate, the farm owner asked, when I told you I had no money, what did you suspect? I thought you had seen a bargain and used all your cash to buy it, the worker replied. And what did you think when I said that I had no crops? I thought perhaps they were all on lease to others. And what did you think when I said I had no animals? I thought that you maybe have dedicated them to the temple. The farmer answered him, it was just this way. My son wouldn't study the scriptures. And the day you came to me, I had rashly dedicated all my possessions to God. But just a couple of days ago, I was absolved from my vow so that now I can pay you. And as for you, just as you have judged me favorably, may the Lord judge you favorably. Just the other day, Rosella shared a story. Rosella took a car in to be used at one of the mechanics here. And she said she got the car back. Didn't have no gas in. She said, look, if you want to use my car, it's cool. Just put some gas back in it. And the gentleman that runs the shop was like, hey, look, I don't drive your stuff. And right away you can see our eyes forming judgment of one another. Yes, you did. You drove my car. No, I didn't. Yes, you did. Now, here's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Lo and behold, there was a thief breaking in and out of the station in the middle of the night, driving the cars but returning them. Went on for years. Nobody knew. Thief was caught. That's the rest of the story. Make sure that your eye is full of light. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Christ will give you light. He will set ablaze inside of you light. Cause you to see things in the light. See with hope. See everything through Christ. See everything the way he sees it. Try your best to go through life with a good eye. Try your best to look at your brothers and sisters and believe the best of them. Look at your neighbor and say, I believe the best of you. I look at you with light. Look at them with light and not with darkness. Jeremiah 18:3-4. Jeremiah 18:3-4 says, then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. You see, God sees something that we don't. You see, it's interesting that these two gentlemen, stand up, Elijah, stand up, Josh. It's interesting that they're sitting together this morning. Because you know, I have in my mind an image. I have in my mind the way I believe God sees them. And some of you might recall this image that I'm about to tell you. But as we were launching the Valley View location, we were having services in a hotel in Beechwood. And we had this one knockdown drag-out service where there was, you know, it was a washout. I call them YouTube video services, where if you're not careful, you're going to catch some stuff. You're going to catch yourself on YouTube because you're just acting drunk in Jesus. And when you do that, people like to take pictures of you. And it was one of those services where there was crying, and my little girl, she was 4 years old, and she began to speak in the Holy Ghost. Yeah, signs and wonders. There they were. They're here. They're still here, just so you know. You know, there was one the other day, wasn't there, Sue? What was she healed of? A blood clot in her lungs. That's not good. Blood clot gets in your lungs, you die. Then y'all prayed? How long? 5 minutes. Woo, Jesus. Ooh, Jesus. Prayed for 5 minutes and suddenly the blood clot was gone. But you see, when he said, I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. The potter was making something. He saw something in there. And he was fashioning it. You know, he had it on his wheel and he was spinning it and he was forming it. And you know, when I look at them like that, you know what I see? I see the image that was branded on a postcard that was sent out to all of us. And their eyes are welled up with tears and their hands are put forward. And you can tell that in that moment, they were full of such faith and they were operating in the truth of who they were. But you know, the enemy comes. The enemy comes and he likes to say, you're not that person. You can't be that person anymore. But that's how I see it. That's what I see when I look at them. I see both of them walking in greater faith and power in resurrection glory. I see it. When I look at them, I don't see what somebody else may see. I see the image of glory on them. I see the Holy Ghost moving through them, laying hands on the sick, watching them get up and walk around. I see it, Elijah. I see it, Josh. I call it forth. Thank you. You can sit down. Because when he went down to the potter's house, he was fashioning something that he saw in there. See, then the other people didn't see it. But the potter sees who you really are. Lana, I see who Julio really is by the Holy Ghost. I see him in there. Do you know how God sees you? This morning, Do you know that this is not who you are? You're in there somewhere. And God is fashioning you. God has his hands on you. God is pushing on you. He's making something at the wheel. God is committed to what he sees in you. He is very committed. Literally, the thing being made was beginning to get out of shape. You ever see that? Where the clay begins to wobble and it gets all lumpy. You ever get lumpy? All the women were like, "Hey, hey, 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 I am not lumpy." Not that kind of lumpy. I got to run hard away from that. You know, my wife is not lumpy. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." God is making something. He is accomplishing a work in you. God is the maker. He is making something. You know, the wheel is called a birth stool in the Hebrew. If you look at what it really means, God has you on the birth stool. It's interesting that when God has you on this birth stool, that it spins violently in one direction, and the force of the spinning causes you to go round and round. How many feel like you've gone round too many times? Yeah. Well, hold on. Just stay put. Just stay put, because you're going round and round, but God is doing something. You know, God is, you know, that round and round motion pushes out the impurities that are inside of you. That centrifugal force that is happening, it causes all the little rocks to move to the exterior, and then the potter is able to pick them out with his hands, his delicate hands, his very grace-filled hands, his loving hands. He's not fashioning destruction or sickness or disease to teach you lessons. No, that's from the enemy of your soul that hates you and wants to kill you and wants to steal from you. That's not your father's business. He is in the business of making something of you, and he is making something of me. Come on, say it with me. God is making something of you. He's making something. And that force that you're experiencing, sometimes we get out of shape. And, you know, he says, go ahead. "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter." Somebody say, "Thank you, Jesus." Because you're marred. It's okay. You're out of shape. That's okay. You're still in the hand of the potter. It says it right there. It's marred. But where's it at? It's in the hand of the potter. He's not taking his hand off of you when you feel less of yourself. He's not taking his hand off of you when you miss it, when you fail, when you strike out. He does not take his hands off of you. Listen, I was what they called backslid at one time. And I had a reason, I thought, justifiably, to run away from Jesus. And I was running fast and hard away from him. But can I tell you, when I got to the bottom of the Jack Daniels bottle, he was still there. I still felt his hand on me. As drunk as I wanted to be, I felt the potter's hand on me. You can say it if you want, but I'm telling you, he don't take his hands off of the ones he loves. He don't. He just refashions it. He just says, "It's cool. Look, it's okay. We can start over. Because you're not that. You're not too brittle that I can't. You're not dead yet, child. You're not dead. So all I got to do is put you back on the wheel. Put my hands back on you and begin to fashion and form you into what I see." I see something. God says, I see something. I see something in you. It doesn't matter what it seems like to my neighbor. God says, I look good to him. God is saying, I see you. And that's not it. You will become what I see. You will, Elijah. Prophetically, right here, you will become what God sees. You will. Regardless. I don't care what the enemy says about you. I don't care what lion spirits that exist in the world. You will become what God sees. In Jesus' name, I call forth what's in there. In Jesus' name. I see it. Be made again, church. Be made again. But the problem is this. I'm running out of time. The problem is this. They can wait. That we've allowed somebody else to put their hands on us. You've allowed somebody to illegally put their hands on you and fashion and make you into something that they see and not what he sees. I get real irritated in the spirit. I get spiritually constipated when somebody looks at me and tries to put their hands on me and, yeah, I said it, and tries to tell me who they think I am. Look here, Mr. and Mrs. I know the Christ who saved me. I feel his hands on me. I don't need you fashioning me. Don't you put your doctrine of man on me. I don't want it. I know, I'm preaching. Caitlin, where you at? Come here. Come here. Caitlin, make me something. I'm going to keep preaching. You just make something. You make something. See, the problem is we commit our hands to somebody that's not the pot. And she's beautiful, you know. And if you go, you, some of you boys out there don't. She ain't putting her hands on you like that. But if you're going to let anybody touch you, you know, hey, it's cool. Go ahead and form me. Go ahead and fashion me. Young people, look at me. Don't let nobody form you. Don't let nobody fashion you. Don't you let a young boy that's got your heart all crazy and stirred up tell you lies in order to manipulate and steal your sacredness. Because he don't see what your daddy sees. He don't see it the way I got a little girl. And I promise you, one day there will be a boy that will get to meet my Glock 22. And he will. He won't see my little girl the way I see her. You know, hey, right, Jim. You might think you see her and you want to fat, but you don't see her the way her daddy sees her. So you better leave her alone or I'm going to clean my Remington 1187. Jack. But see, daddy sees you differently. Daddy sees you differently. We allow people to touch our lives and begin to fashion and form us into something we're not. Into something that's trying to fill an affirmation or a hole in their soul. Don't you dare lay your hands on me trying to fulfill or gratify something inside of you. Don't you do it. Because I won't allow you. We let too many people touch us. There's an old story of a father who took his young son out and stood. He stood him on the rail of the back porch. And then he went down and he stood on the lawn. And he encouraged the little fellow to jump into his arms. He said, I'll catch you. Confidently, he said, I'll catch you. Come on, son, jump. After a little coaxing, the little boy finally made the leap. And when he did, the father stepped back. And he let the child fall to the ground. Then he picked up his son, dusted him off, and he dried his tears. And he said, let that be a lesson to you. Don't ever trust anyone. Don't trust anyone. Stop trusting them with what God's made you to be. Stop allowing people to form and fashion you based upon what they think of you. Because chances are their perception of you is based upon an insecurity in themselves. So I won't let you fashion and form me. Only God does that. Now, if you bring forth a word from the Lord that bears witness with my soul, fashion away. But if you bring forth nonsense out of ignorance, get away. I have a friend. I told this story a few weeks ago, but I got a different perspective. His name's Money, and he was traveling between two lands, and he lost his passport going into the other one. But here's what he did. He did something very foolish. He gave his passport to his friend. Don't ever give your passport to a friend. You're a citizen of heaven. Don't you ever give your passport to a friend. Don't you allow somebody to carry your identity in their pocket. Don't you give it up, you anointed of God. Don't you give it up. Don't you let go of your citizenship in heaven. Don't you allow somebody to carry you in their pocket. You know, in the airport, when we go to the airport, what's it say? Don't let nobody touch your bag. Keep your bag with you at all times, right? Don't let nobody handle your stuff. Because their intentions are not so pure. John 2:23-24 says this. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, and they saw the signs which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men. Isaiah 2:22 says, sever yourself from such a man whose breath is in his nostrils. For what of account is he? In Psalms 105:15, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Stop allowing people to touch what is anointed. Now, what have you made up there? Oh, thank you. Thank you. Give her a hand. As good as it is, as talented as they might be, as skilled and versed as they may be, as anointed as you might feel it is, don't you allow this to define you. This is not you. God knows who you are, and God is the one who is fashioning it. God is the one who is forming it. I'm closing. I was praying in the car the other day, and as I was driving, and I'm alone, I pray. I pray loud and violently, and have you ever pulled up next to me, and I'm in that moment. I am not angry, I am praying. One time I was working for the city, it's so funny, and you know, we didn't do a whole lot for the city. But anyhow, and I was sitting in the truck, and I was just getting out. I was in Jesus' mug, right? I could tell what he had for breakfast, I was so close to him, you know? And I was there in that moment, and tears were going, and I was like, God, I declare in Jesus. And then suddenly I heard... And I look over, and somebody had climbed up onto the truck and was looking in there and said, oh, I'm cool. I got you. And he got, he was like, he knew. He was like, there's some glory or something in there blazing. Just stay away from Troy. He got some problems today. But I was praying the other day, and you know, when I get in that, you know how you are, you start seeing stuff. And so then I start declaring some stuff. I saw my children for the first time. God allowed me to see them as He sees them. He gave me glimpses, and I said, I see Jeremiah as a philanthropist, God, and I call it forth, and I see Precious as an anointed prophetess of the Lord. Oh my gosh, she's got that in her. I see it, and I see Caleb walking in the arts so powerfully. I see that, God, and I see Tristan, and I see him in a business suit, and I see him handling business affairs. Oh God, I see it. And I began to declare what I saw. There's a story about the artist Michelangelo, who passed by a block of marble somewhere. He stopped transfixed and he said, "I see an angel in there. Quick, bring me a chisel." Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper was recently restored. And here's the interesting thing. It was restored from centuries of dust, mold, and candle soot. But mostly the damage that they had to restore was accumulated by the amateur hacks that attempted to touch up the original. There was wax and glue and paint. They actually, can you imagine? They actually put their paintbrushes on the Leonardo da Vinci's The Last Supper. And the story goes that the images that they saw were so distorted that by the time they got through removing it, inch by inch every day, they would go like inch by inch every day. That's all they got. Inch by inch, they would chisel away that which was there. And eventually they got to the original and they saw something in the original. And when they got to the bottom of it, they had to get rid. Could you imagine the audacity that somebody would actually take their paintbrush and try to improve upon a masterpiece? Could you imagine somebody who would actually take their paintbrush out and try to improve upon a masterpiece? You are God's masterpiece. He sees something in you. Let me tell you what He sees. He sees Christ. He does. He sees Christ in you. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, and old things have passed away." You want to know what God sees when He looks at you? He sees Jesus. He looks down the right hand of His throne, and it's as if He's looking square in the face of Mike Russell. He sees Mike Russell, but it's not Mike Russell. It's Jesus, because Mike Russell has been covered in the blood of His cross. Colossians says that His blood has been shed on the cross, that His cross actually has blood on it. That means that Jesus is all in for you. He sees you. When He looks, He sees the real you. And I know it's hard for us to see us that way. But either the Scriptures be true, or they be a lie. 1 John 2, 1-2 says, "My little children, these things are right to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ." Romans 1:17 says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." Everybody say faith. To faith. "As it is written, the just shall live by their faith." Faith forms what God sees. I'll say it again. Faith, your faith, forms in you what God sees. You say, "I want to be more like Jesus." Look upon yourself in faith. Don't look upon yourself with condemnation and guilt and shame. Be convicted of the righteousness of the Holy Ghost of your life that is leading you to the true you, the truth of who you are. God looks at you and God sees Jesus. He sees the cross. He sees your sins washed away. He sees you blood bought, Holy Ghost filled, walking in glory, walking in the power, walking in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God sees you. That's what God is fashioning in you at the potter's will. That's what He's fashioning. He said, until you come to the fullness of the image of the glory of Jesus Christ, He will not stop pushing you. He will not stop pressing you. He will not stop fashioning you until you arrive to that place. He won't. Repentance. You say, yeah, I must repent. You're right, you must. You must repent. You must change the way you think about yourself. Because that's what repentance is. Repentance is an exchange of identity. I change the way I look at me. I change my mind about who I am. And by faith, I declare today that I can become everything that the potter is fashioning me to become. I can do it through Christ Jesus, but I can't do it on my own. Ask the drug addict who's trying to get released from that dragon that's chasing him. Ask him if you will. He can't do it by himself, but it is the grace of God that leads us to repentance. It is the glory of God that leads us there. So as I close, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you. First of all, I want to challenge you to love stronger, church, in 2013. I want to challenge you to love stronger. Stop loving so weak. Stop being such a coward with your love. Love stronger. If you be found guilty of anything, be found guilty of loving people too much. Be found guilty of believing in them way too much. You say, Troy, why do you continue to believe in that person? Because God sees who they are, and I want that to be fulfilled in their life. Love stronger, church. Love, because that's what Jesus did to you. Love stronger. Lift weights of love. Come on, work out and love somebody. Number two, 365 day challenge in 2013. Listen, love stronger. Number two, live in greater faith. Live in greater faith. I talked about it earlier. You want to win? Live in faith. You want to please God? Live in faith. You want to see greater things? Live in greater faith, and you'll see greater things take place. Live in greater faith. Begin to believe God for the impossible and the ridiculous. Believe Him for the ridiculous. Is that, that's crazy. That silly don't make no sense, Troy. I believe that every hospital from sea to shining sea will be shut down in Jesus' name. That's ridiculous. That don't make no sense, Troy. That's goofy. People leave their job. I don't care. I believe that the miraculous power of God is available. I believe that 30,000 people will begin to flood this church. We'll have to knock down stuff and build stuff. I believe. Greater faith, I believe. I believe that those who walk through those doors with cancer, it'll fall off like bed sheets as they walk through the door. I believe. I believe for greater things in 2013. Greater faith. Number three, commit to the potter's house. Come on. Commit yourself to arising on Sunday morning, getting out of bed, you prophet of God, and making your way to the potter's house, so that way He can begin to form and fashion you into the likeness of Jesus. Come on and commit yourself as a prophet of God to get out of bed, to wake up and go to church where God is forming you. Don't make church into a performance. Don't make it into that. Don't make it a circus show with lions and tigers and bears throwing balls around and people flipping all around. This is the place of forming. Commit yourself in 2013 to be in this house and to allow God to put his hands on you and fashion you into his image. Thursday nights at 7, Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Join us for prayer at 9:30. Number 4. Soap. Everybody say soap. Use it. I couldn't resist that. That was too much. Soap. Scripture. Observe. Apply. Pray. Every day, read a chapter in Scripture. I know that's weak, but come on. At least one, guys. Soap. At least one chapter of Scripture every day. Observe it. Write it down. Write down what God said. Observe it. Number 3, apply it. Take the truth that you read in that chapter and now apply it to your life. And number 4, pray about it. Pray about what God just said in your life. I promise you, church, if we will do those 4 things in 2013, we will see the miraculous take place, not only in our lives. We will be a transformed church. We will be a transformed city. We will be a transformed region. We will become a transformed nation. Let's stand to our feet as we close today. I love this story, and I figured I'd close with it. Before I close, I need to tell you about Alpha. It's happening in February, and we need every person to bring somebody to dinner. We need every person to bring somebody to dinner February 12th, every Tuesday, for 10 weeks in a row. We're going to gather, but we need you. If you need to know more about God, if you're not really sure about your assignment and your purpose in this thing called faith, you need to get to Alpha. Now look, if you're a seasoned saint and you've been around, I need you to serve in Alpha. Amen? Commit to Alpha. Give somebody the gift of salvation by inviting them to Alpha. Now let's close. This story here. Ken Ulmer tells a story about 2 men who were in an art museum and came upon a painting of a chess game. One character looked like a man, the other character looked like a devil. The man is down to his last piece on the chessboard. The title of the painting is Checkmate. One of the 2 men looking at his painting was an international chess champion. And something about the painting intrigued him. He began to study it. He became so engrossed that the man with him grew impatient and asked him, "What was he doing?" He said, "There's something about this painting that bothers me, and I want to study it for a little while. You go ahead and wander around." He studied it, and his head began to nod. His hands began to move. And when his friend came back, he said, "We have to locate the man who painted this picture and tell him that either he has to change the picture or he has to change the title." His friend asked, "Why? What's wrong with the painting?" The man said, "Well, it's titled Checkmate, but the title is wrong. The title is wrong. The painters either got to change the painting or change the title, because the king still has one more move." I want you to know today, church, it's not over. Your life's not over. It's never over. It's never over. I don't care what it looks like today. I don't care how much it appears that the sun has set on your life. I don't care how much it appears that you're cursed. I don't care how much it appears. Listen to me. You're still alive. You're still breathing in. You're still sucking in the air of God. You're still on this green ball of dirt, and it's not over. The king still has one more move. I don't care if it's stage 4 cancer. I don't care if it's heart disease. I don't care if it's diabetes. I don't care if it's divorce. The king still has one more move in your life. Altar ministers, come forward, please. I want to ask you a question today. And I want you to search your soul. I want you to search the depths of who you are. And I want to ask you this. Are you in faith? Is your life with Christ in faith? And if it's not, right there where you are, I just want you to repent, change your mind. If you're not saved, born again, don't you dare leave here. Don't you dare. I just preached my guts out. Don't you dare leave here without first giving your life to the Savior of the world. He died for you so you could live for Him. He represents you there. You are made to represent Him here. Amen, church? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are not born again, right there where you stand, I want you to raise your hand like a man, like a woman, and just say, I'm not born again. I want to be born again. All over this place, raise your hand. You want Christ. You want to be born again. You want to be renewed. You want to walk in the power and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You want your life to mean something eternally for the rest of your life. Just lift your hands. Nobody's looking. It's just your moment. We're not going to manipulate it. It's you and God right now. If you want that, if you want Christ and not the devil, if you want a life that means something forever, just lift your hands. Now, church, together with me, pray this prayer. Father God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He gave His life for me. I confess my sin. I believe that you are the resurrection power and that you saved my soul. I call upon Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need healing in your body, you can be healed today. I promise you, you can. It happens all the time. Don't you let the enemy lie to you and tell you it doesn't. If you need your mind lifted out of the gutter, if the enemy is lying to you, these up here want to pray for you this morning. God bless you. Hey, look, I wonder if we could do something. Where'd it go? I wonder, where'd it go? I threw it. Here, give me one of those. Yeah. Look, on your way out, I want to give you the opportunity to sow a seed today. Sow a seed to greater faith in 2013. Before you leave, just consider what God would have you give. The ushers are going to receive it on the way out. But pray today about sowing a seed for 2013 to release greater faith in your life. You say you live by faith and not by sight. Here's your opportunity. Sow a seed. God bless you, church. If you need prayer, come now. If you gave your life to Christ, come now. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you Thursday night. This weekend's going to be amazing.